Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, and then I'll jump down to verse number 21. The gospel reads, "As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, 'I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.'" Verse number 21. "Now when all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased.'" A few weeks ago, we began a new series called Illuminate. It was a series that coincided with the season of Epiphany. Now, Epiphany is a term to describe the presentation of Jesus to the Gentiles, non-Jews. Epiphany is a day to celebrate that Jesus is for all people, not just Jews, not just Gentiles, not just white people, not just black people, that Jesus is for everybody. He's for the entire population on the planet. The light of the world has come, and he is shining for everyone to see. No matter how dark it might be, Jesus is a light that pierces the deepest darkness. He is the light of the world, and his light will never burn out. And so long ago, the prophet Isaiah stood up and declared to the people, "Arise," or "Get up, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen among you." That's from Isaiah chapter 60 and verse number 1. And so we endeavor to explore what it means to be illuminated in 2019 as we continue to explore and discover our place in God's mission as individuals and as a church. It's God's mission to redeem humankind. And we are committed to the work of God here in the Reynoldsburg community and surrounding areas. And those areas would include the communities where each and every one of us lives and work or go to school. This area would also include adjacent communities, communities adjacent to Reynoldsburg. Wherever we can shine the light of God, we will. That's our intention. That's what we are here to do. We will continue to be a shining light on a hill, reflecting the light of Christ in whatever we do. And so the first prompting that we got in this series of illumination was a prompting to get up, to arise, and to take our place in God's mission. It was also revealed that Sunday, a few Sundays ago, that it is our church's intention to work with God in mission with a new focus, and that is to connect to God, to connect to people, and to connect to purpose. And so as we think about ministry, as we think about serving, as we think about the things that we do as a body, we do it so that somehow we or the people we come into contact with will connect to God, will connect to people, and connect to purpose, that we will connect to God in faithfulness and in worship, that we would connect to people in loving ways, that we would connect to purpose, that is coming to an understanding that God has made each and every one of us, uniquely made each and every one of us for a purpose on this planet. And so when we do ministry, we're going to begin asking those questions, you know, is this ministry helping to connect to God, connect to people, connect to purpose? Now, had we not had interruptions with the bad weather, the Sunday following the first sermon would have been the sermon I'm going to preach today. We just moved the series back, and we'll complete this series in the middle of February. It is a sermon and a text that is both powerful and perplexing at the same time. It is a text and a subject that is so important for our church context, particularly as it relates to our context in the churches of Christ. Baptism is an important part of our church's story. Churches of Christ pride themselves on the inclusion of immersion baptism as a part of one's Christian journey. We take our cue on this belief from Scripture, and more specifically, we take our cue from Jesus Christ himself. And before Jesus preached publicly, before he performed his numerous miracles, before he gave sight to the blind, before he proclaimed good news about the kingdom of God, before he gave the ability to walk to those who were lame, Jesus was, he was baptized. The important piece of Jesus' biography is one that is included in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so anytime we read a text about baptism, particularly the baptism of Jesus, those of us who have been baptized, I believe that we are invited to consider our own baptisms or reflect upon the stories or of witnessing or participating in the baptism of others. Several of you just last year were at the Atlantic Ocean at Sunset Beach when Nick Briscoe decided he wanted to get baptized and Lewis Stern baptized. That's something that will be fixed in your memory forever because it was a special time. I remember a time a couple years ago at church camp. There was this guy by the name of Alex Truck, real funny kid who came to Cup, always made us laugh, and he got to a point where he wanted to be baptized. And I remember him saying, "You know what? I want these four guys who've been really special to me at camp to baptize me." And so he invited me along with three other guys, and we all in the lake there baptized this guy together. That's just like a memorable experience. When we read stories about baptism, it's an invitation for us to think about our own baptisms and also maybe the baptism of others. I remember being a 21-year-old. I left school for a couple years, and I was working at a we used to repair pallets. I used to repair pallets for a living, wooden pallets for a living. I remember at work, and I remember my boss or my foreman coming out and saying, "Hey, Dion, there's a call for you in the office," before cell phones. And so I go to the office, and it's my mother, and, you know, my father had heart problems, and I didn't know what this phone call was going to be about. So I actually took a really slow stroll to the office, didn't know what this phone call was going to be about. And I get on the phone, and my mother is like just screaming, "Your dad just got baptized." At age, I believe he was 73, 74 years old, my dad was baptized. And I remember in the office, like going crazy on the phone, and all the officers were like, "What in the world is going on with this dude on the phone?" And I hung up the phone and told him my father got baptized, and they were like, "Is that a good thing?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's a great thing. I'm so excited." When you think about baptism, man, we're invited to think about all of those stories. Just think for a moment. Think about your baptism story. Think about the baptism of your kids or the baptism of your parents or the baptism of a close friend. It's something that makes you smile. It's something that causes you to give God some praise because of that marvelous event. Baptism is no small thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful experience. In the testimony of Scripture, there are so many images that are used to describe baptism. For example, in the book of Romans, there is the image of death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4, Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome, and he says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Do you see how the Apostle Paul describes baptism as an act where one puts the old life to death, that life is buried, and then that old life is dead, buried, and we are raised to new life, to be lived in connection with Jesus Christ. But that's not the only image or theme shared in the testimony in Scripture about baptism. When Peter was asked by the Jews regarding what they should do in response to revelation that Jesus was the Christ, they said, "Men, brother, what should we do in response to what you just preached to us?" Peter stood up and he said in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Here, the image or theme of baptism is forgiveness of sins and receiving the Holy Spirit. And then there's baptism as entrance into the body of Christ. Here again, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. "For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." Baptism is a declared action signifying our participation in the body of Christ. That's why baptism is so powerful, because baptism is this symbol of dying and being raised to new life. It's powerful because we are forgiven of everything we have ever committed. It's just forgiven, it's gone, it's washed away, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's powerful because we all partake of that same baptism, and we are joined together, connecting to God, connecting to people, connecting to purpose. It's baptism. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Now, many images and themes are associated with baptism. Again, it's a powerful event. But the question that has always presented itself, especially as we read the narrative of Jesus' baptism, is this question. Well, why was Jesus baptized? He was sinless, so it wouldn't have been to wash away his sins. Not sure he needed to die to anything and be raised to new life. Why would he need to be baptized to initiate entrance into his own body? These questions need not frustrate us. You know, Jesus' baptism may not fit the themes and images that often dominate our discussions about baptism. Jesus' baptism expands our limits on the work of baptism. Instead of putting the work of baptism in this nice little neat box that we can just throw out and kill people with, no, Jesus expands our understanding of baptism. Jesus' baptism has much to say to us regarding our connection to God, our connection to people, and our connection to purpose. Jesus' baptism wasn't so much about forgiveness of sins or death and burial as much as it was his commissioning. That is, at his baptism, God was setting Jesus apart for a great work, a great mission, and a great purpose. It was at his baptism that the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus, and we get a glimpse of the overreaching role of the Holy Spirit in God's mission. If we would continue to read through Luke and the second part of Luke, the book of Acts, we would see that the kingdom of God is a Holy Spirit-driven work. Holy Spirit is spoken of 89 or 90 times in the New Testament. In Luke Acts, it's 54 of the 89. That tells you that the story of Luke Acts is something they are placing a heavy emphasis on the Holy Spirit. The first part of Luke is about the ministry of Jesus through the person of Jesus Christ, the human and God on earth. The book of Acts is the story of Jesus through the church, and both are stories about how the Holy Spirit drives the mission of God. At our baptisms, our sins are washed away, and we make a commitment to renounce evil, Satan, and any other power that is keeping us away from embracing God. But also at our baptism, we are being initiated for the work of God in mission with him. It is at our baptism that we too are beneficiaries of the descent of the Holy Spirit on and into our lives. It is our baptism that the Lord is at our baptism where the Lord is saying, "This is my beloved daughter, and this is my beloved son. This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." It is at our baptism that the Holy Spirit then drives us into the world to serve and minister as the Spirit leads. It is at our baptism that we are confirmed to be sold out followers of Jesus. It is where we make our commitment to follow Jesus wherever he leads. It is where we make that commitment to give our lives and bodies into the service of the Lord. It is where we make a declaration that we desire to be connected to God, connected to people, and connected to his purpose. It is where we enjoin Jesus in an event that he participated in long, long ago. Church, that same Holy Spirit that worked alongside Jesus and in Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that works alongside us today and works within us today. I love the scene in John as the resurrected Jesus is speaking with his disciples. It was the first day of the week, and the disciples were in a house together. They were locked inside of a house, and the doors were locked because they were afraid of the Jews. Perhaps they were afraid that they would too experience the same fate that Jesus had experienced just days prior. Maybe they would be killed and tortured and murdered. And as they gathered in that house with locked doors, someone appears. It was Jesus who just appears in their midst. And when he appears in their midst, this is from John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22, Jesus says, Shalom, or peace. Peace be with you. Jesus showed them his hands and his side. They rejoiced because they knew it was him. And then Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That is one of the most powerful scenes and descriptive scenes in all of the Gospels. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. God never intended for the Holy Spirit to be limited to Jesus. One of the reasons Jesus came to earth is so that the followers of God would get filled with the Holy Spirit. And here, in one of the most intimate settings, we behold Jesus imparting the Holy Spirit to his disciples. In the Gospel of Luke, he would tell the disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait for the power to overtake them. I suspect that our lives will be filled with moments where we are overtaken and filled with the Holy Spirit. I am praying that this is a season, during this season of Epiphany, during this season of illumination, that this is a season in the life of the Reynoldsburg Church where we are seeking to be filled. If we intend to do ministry where people get connected to God, connected to people, and connected to purpose, we have to be led by and filled with the Holy Spirit. I've asked the praise team to sing a song that is a prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to breathe on us. When we are possessed by the Holy Spirit, it will help us to see more clearly. It will help us to discern. It will help us to move. It will help us to deal with fear and anxiety. It will embolden us. It will help us to make better decisions. It will help us to give more and to share more and to serve more. When we are possessed by the Holy Spirit, it will fill us and make us and melt us and mold us. And so we pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. I want you to hear the words of this prayer in a song called Holy Spirit, Breathe on Me.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, let me see. You are all the things you want me.
have the music in your books, if you want to sing along with us, go ahead and sing with us.
Breathe on me, Holy Spirit, let them see all the things you are, all the things you want me to be. Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
Let's sing that again together. Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, let me see all the things you are, all the things you want me to be. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. To be, Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
The Holy Spirit isn't something to be afraid of. I don't purport to know a lot about the Holy Spirit. Don't purport to know the ins and out of the Holy Spirit, but trust me, the charismatic churches don't have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. It is in us. It is in this place. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it helps us to see who God is. And it helps us to see who we are, ourselves. So back to the baptism of Jesus. The baptism of Jesus is an event that should get our attention. Jesus calls us to participate in the events that he participated in. And so when people ask, well, why do you get baptized? Well, because it's a command. Yeah, that's true. Because, yeah, that's the way of salvation. Yeah, that's true too. But it's also true that in baptism, it becomes the way that God marks us, seals us, and commissions us to go. Again, before Jesus did anything, he was baptized, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And so, as followers of Jesus Christ, we should get baptized. We should participate in that wonderful and beautiful event. We should participate in the very thing that our King, our Lord and Savior participated in. And all the images that come with it, all the themes that comes with it, we should participate in that event. We don't just get baptized and just get wet. We can do that. We can go to the ocean and do that. We can go to a hotel and go swimming. We can do that. If you got a swimming pool, you go do. It's not just an activity to just get wet. It is where we meet the Holy Spirit in such a powerful, powerful way. And if we are determining to be God's emissaries, his missionaries in mission, I'd much rather be prepared with a power that is much powerful than me than to just go out there on my own. I think it's best that we go in the name of Jesus, commissioned by the Father, with the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you have never been baptized, I would encourage you to do so. I would encourage you to to experience what Jesus our Lord experienced. I would encourage you to experience what many of us have experienced. If you've already been baptized, I'm praying that you don't like hack off the other part of the bat, like, yeah, I'm baptized, but don't hack off the part about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And in one of the scenes of Jesus' baptisms, people were questioning John about Jesus. Yeah, I baptize with water, but this dude coming is going to baptize with fire. That's Holy Spirit language, folks. The Holy Spirit is in this place. It's in us. And it will lead us, and it will guide us, and it will mend us. And it will give us the power to be agents of healing in our world. It will help us to heal addictions. It will help us to heal families. It will help us to heal churches. It will help us to heal communities. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to sing one final song, Spirit of the Living God. And as we sing this song, if you would like to be baptized, if you would like to participate in this moment where the Holy Spirit descends and says, I'm ready to prepare you and make you and break you and make you and mold you and build you. I'm ready to send you to be God's people at your jobs, at your schools, in your homes, in your neighborhoods, at the grocery store. I'm sending you out as my missionaries to share the greatest news to ever touch this earth. If you've never experienced baptism and you like to experience baptism, or you like to know more about what baptism means, come talk to me today. Come talk to me today. We'll sit down and we'll talk about it. We'll read scripture about it. We'll share the narratives and stories of baptism. If today you're just in a place where the Holy Spirit has just been absent in your life, maybe if we surround you and pray a prayer of illumination, we pray a prayer that would open your heart to reception of the Holy Spirit to come and take a permanent residence in your life. We'll do that today. We'll pray powerfully in the name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will come into your life to melt you, mold you, make you, use you, fill you. The Holy Spirit is nothing to be afraid of, church. It is our gift. God says, I have some gifts to give you. And perhaps the greatest of them is the power of my presence in the Holy Spirit. So let's stand. Let's sing the song of invitation. If there's something we can do for you this morning, please come as we sing the song.